What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, these Eastern and Western Conference Finals, two completely opposite series at this point. I mean, the Knicks are just completely rolling, as they have been this entire postseason. And then you have that battle between the Spurs and the Oklahoma City Thunder. So let's start with the Western Conference Finals and what's been going on with that this week. Game one. Holy shit. I mean, actually, the beginning of both of these series were amazing. Like, if you are just a flat-out basketball fan, you don't even have to be a fan of any of these teams left. It was fantastic to see game one of both of these games go into overtime and just be amazing. Like, we're just watching so much great basketball from so many great players. And it's cool, too, because all four of these teams basically boast dudes that we're going to be watching for years to come. I mean, you got the Spurs with Victor Wembanyama, who is, we're going to be watching this dude for at least another 10, 15 years. And I mean, they got such a young squad that there's a lot of talent on that squad. Then the Oklahoma City Thunder with SGA and Chet Holmgren and Jalen Williams. That's more talent that we're going to be looking at for another 10 to 15 years. Then you look at the New York Knicks with Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns. Those two guys have been in the league for a minute, but we probably got another 10 years of them. And then the Cleveland Cavaliers, James Harden, he's garbage. But Donovan Mitchell, the dude has just been so consistent his entire fucking career, and we probably got another 10 years of him too. It's just fucking awesome to just watch all of these guys, like, just as a pure basketball fan, because, you know, my Lakers are out of this, so I really couldn't care less who wins at this point. I mean, if you ask me who I'm rooting for the Spurs. They're kind of my secondary team. I always love Tim Duncan. My two favorite basketball players of all time, Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan. So I do tend to root for the Spurs a lot. You know, they're down the road from me. I live here in Texas, so I just love the Spurs. But I'm not going to be upset with any four of these teams winning a championship. That's just straight up. And like I said, we are watching some teams that I feel like we're going to be watching for years to come. So like I said, let's get into the San Antonio Spurs, Oklahoma City Thunder matchup. Double overtime is what we got in game one. It was back and forth between these two teams. And they just, it was so much fun to watch. And Victor Wembanyama just dominated this game. The Spurs got the win in double overtime, 122-115. As a matter of fact, I kind of felt like this game, the reason why the Thunder lost this game is they were gassed by double overtime. Like, Chet Holmgren wasn't even guarding Victor Wembanyama. I think it was SGA who was on Victor Wembanyama. So, like, that's kind of what we're looking at, is somebody else was guarding Victor Wembanyama, because I could just tell Chet Holmgren, he was gassed. It kind of looked like everybody on the Thunder was gassed. And I know the Spurs were gassed as well. I mean, you go into double overtime in a playoff game, that you're going to be gassed. It's just the Spurs, they just kept knocking down the shots, and the Thunder were missing the shots. And the Spurs got the win, 122-115. Victor Wembanyama, 41 points and 24 rebounds. Monster-ass game in this one. Harper had 24 points, 11 rebounds, and 6 assists. And then Stephon Castle had 17 points and 11 assists. And just the all-around great team game from the San Antonio Spurs. And like I said, I feel like the Oklahoma City Thunder just kind of, they just weren't able to keep up. And double overtime really just pushed them out of bounds. Because once they got into double overtime, nothing was dropping for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Then game two, it was pretty much all Oklahoma City. I mean, it was a battle back and forth for a while there, but for the most part, it was all Oklahoma City from start to finish. They got the win, 122-113. SGA had 30 points, 9 assists. Caruso had 17 points. And let me tell you, I miss you, Caruso. I miss you, Caruso. He used to play with the Lakers when they won the 2020 championship. He was such a pivotal player. He is just that fun player I love to watch, because he's not the star player, but when he comes to play, especially in the playoffs, he comes to play. And even in game one, even though they lost game one, Caruso was all over the court. He was all over the court last year when they won a championship, and he's all over the court this year when it looks like they've got a shot at winning another championship, and I just miss Alex Caruso. That is one of those players that the Lakers let go, and every time I see him play, I kind of get that twinge where I'm like, he could be on our team, y'all. That dude could be on our team. And I know LeBron loved Caruso. That's what kind of pissed me off too, is like, you kind of got rid of a dude who really worked well with LeBron. Things could have been different for the Lakers had they kept Caruso. And you look at him and he just is, he's great with this Thunder team. He gets in with the rebounds. He gets in with the assists. He can knock down the three-pointers. He is all over the court. And then Hartenstein had a huge game as well. He had 10 points, 13 rebounds. And so game three, Friday night, we are all tied up at one in this matchup. And like I said, I had this one going seven. Not shocked we're tied up here at one. So let's move on to the less exciting matchup. I mean, game one was phenomenal. But between the Knicks and the Cavaliers, the Knicks are just, this postseason has been very dominating for them. They have completely just obliterated each and every matchup that they go up against. And even when it looks like they're down and out, they make a huge comeback. And it's not even just Brunson, man. I mean, Hart stepped it up in game two. Bridges was in game one. You know, it's just like, it ain't just Brunson and Cat. There is always another dude who's coming out of the woodwork for this Knicks team that just is there. I will say, though, game one, Cavaliers completely choked that one away. So, game one, the Cavaliers were demolishing the Knicks. They had a 22-point lead in the fourth quarter. I remember I was debating on changing the channel at one point in this one. I'm like, eh, it's a playoff game. Anything can happen. Let's see what happens here. So the Knicks just start chipping away, and it just kind of, it's kind of like they just lit a fire up under Jalen Brunson's ass because he just went off in the fourth quarter, and he just started knocking down shots. He just started getting rebounds. He just was all over the motherfucking court. Brunson ended up with 38 points. Karl Anthony Towns ended up with 13 points, 13 rebounds. Bridges ended up with 18 points. Bridges was huge in this 22-point fourth quarter comeback as well. And the Knicks got the win, 115 to 104. The Cavaliers, though, they just completely fell apart. And that was my thing with this Cavaliers team when I was breaking them down last week when we were talking about the matchups before they started, is that the Cavaliers just are not a convincing team to me. They haven't even really had, even when they win, they just don't look good. And then they do shit like this where they blow 22-point leads. It's just really odd because Donovan Mitchell is just playing out of his mind. But everybody else around him is just falling apart, and it's pretty much all Donovan Mitchell, and he's the only one showing up for every game. And then in game two, I don't know if the Cavaliers knew that they were playing a playoff game because it was all Knicks all night. They got the win 109-93. Hart could not be stopped. He had 26 points and was knocking down the three-pointers like he was Steph Curry. Karl Anthony Towns, 18 points, 13 rebounds, and then Brunson had 19 points, 14 assists. It was just all-around domination by the Knicks. The Cavaliers have not showed up at all. They need to show up because this is looking like another sweep for the New York Knicks. Game three is Saturday. New York has a 2-0 lead over the Cavaliers. I wouldn't be shocked, though, if the Knicks sweep in this one. They are just, they're playing suffocating basketball, and they're winning in so many different ways. It's just, it's going to be interesting because if they sweep, and you take a look at this Western Conference Finals, I feel like it's going to go seven. It's tied. Both of these games have been a battle. Is it going to be that whoever wins the Western Conference Finals is just too bruised and battered from their matchup in the Conference Finals to not really have it all there when the finals show up? And it's not to say that the Knicks are going to get an easy opponent. No, they're going to get a great opponent, whoever they face off against. It's just, I'm saying, the Spurs and the Thunder are probably going to be rolling into the finals tired, whereas the Knicks are probably going to have potentially like a week off. And that rest, it's going to help them. It's going to help them. And I mean, so far it has. They've got rest before every single matchup they've had so far, and it's worked out in their favor. So I kind of feel like the Knicks potentially could be the benefactor. Now, you never know. The Cavaliers could step it up. This is the playoffs. You never, ever want to overlook a team because anything can happen. And the Cavaliers could potentially tie this shit up, and we're looking at a different Eastern Conference Finals here. But if the Knicks sweep and get some time to rest, And the Spurs and the Thunder beat each other up. That's some good news if you are a Knicks fan. All right, so let's move on to the week of baseball. And we are having some crazy winning streaks, some dominating innings, and a great series between the Padres and the Dodgers this week. I mean, I keep telling you that the Padres are going to be on that Dodgers ass, and they have been on that Dodgers ass all season long. So let's start off with Monday between the New York Mets and the Washington Nationals. This game went 12 innings. The New York Mets had a 10-run 12th inning. 10 runs in the 12th inning. It is nuts to even think that. And I mean, good for them because it's been real difficult for them to score. And the Nationals are actually a good team this year. They are not only over 500, but they lead the league in most runs. Who would have fucking thought? I didn't. I thought the Nationals were going to be a garbage can team this year. So, I mean, whoa. But Bo Bichette, he had probably his best game as a Met so far. He went 3-for-6 with a home run and 3 RBI. And Beatty went 2-for-6 with a home run and 3 RBI in just an absolutely dominating 12th inning from the New York Mets. Then between the Los Angeles Angels and the A's, what a weird game this was. This was a crazy matchup. Nobody could score in this one. The A's actually had a no-hitter through the 8th inning. And Ginn, their pitcher Ginn, went 8 innings pitched, 10 strikeouts. He is pitching a beautiful gem. And unfortunately, they took his ass out. And the A's and the Angels ended up being tied at 1. And then Zach Neto walks up to bat and walks it off with a home run. And the Los Angeles Angels win 2-1 in what would have been a beautiful win for the A's. And I mean, that's just what's so great about baseball, in my opinion, is that you have these pitchers who you just can't score on, and it's a battle where it's like 0-0 or 1-1, and then you just take out, you make that one move where you take out your starting pitcher who's just been pitching beautifully, and you give it up to your bullpen, who is actually not a bad bullpen at all, but the Angels are a terrible ass team, so I kind of see what they were thinking, but that's baseball for you. Walks right up and boom, knocks it out the park, and the Angels get the win. Then also on Monday night, this is when the Padres and the Dodgers series began. And this has been a battle every single game. We are going to talk about every game this week between the Dodgers and Padres. That's how good this series was. So Monday night, game one, San Diego got the win 1-0. And Duhar had the walk-off home run. Well, I mean, the only home run in the game, the only score in the game to get this win. King had a beautiful game for the Padres in this one. He went 7 innings pitch with 9 strikeouts and just a dominating win. I mean, this was one of those games where it was just, oh my God, who's going to score? Who's going to score? And the Padres ended up doing it. And they needed it. They needed this win over the Dodgers because, like I said, they are on that ass and they are going back and forth with that division. Then on Tuesday, another good series that continues between the Washington Nationals and the New York Mets. As a matter of fact, a crazy thing happened in this game as well. You know, we had the New York Mets scoring 10 runs in the 12th inning the game before. Well, this time the Washington Nationals got the Mets back. They got the win 9-6, but what happened in this game is Woods. He had an inside-the-park grand slam. Not just an inside-the-park home run, inside-the-park grand slam. Those are extremely rare, so you gotta give it up to him for that. Overall, though, Woods went 3-for-5 with that home run and 4 RBI in what's turning out to be a really tight series between the Nationals and the Mets. And also on Tuesday night, another tight series between the Milwaukee Brewers and the Chicago Cubs. As a matter of fact, the Brewers took the division lead with a win over the Cubs 5-2. Mizorowski pitched another gem, 6 innings pitched, 8 strikeouts. Bryce Turang, I don't know what is going on with this dude this season, but he went 3-for-4 with a home run and 2 RBI. He has been a monster behind the plate this season. It's just been crazy to watch this Brewers team taking over this Cubs team as well. I mean, we were just talking about the Cubs a couple of weeks ago with their 2 10-game winning streaks, and now here they are kind of cooled off. And this Milwaukee Brewers team is hot, And they took over that division lead in a beautiful game over the Cubs. Then once again, we're talking about this Dodgers-San Diego Padres series, and the Dodgers took game two, 5-4. Freddie Freeman has been quiet this season, but he busted it open in this one. He had two home runs with three RBI. And to end this game was a battle between Andy Páez and Mason Miller. Mason Miller, arguably the best closer in the game right now. Andy Páez having a career year for sure, but right now he is one of the best hitters in the game. I mean, he's getting on base just about every time he comes up to bat. I mean, he's batting well over 300 right now. He leads the Dodgers in home runs and RBI. It's like this is a dude who's on a team with like three MVPs on the team, and he's leading them in practically all the hitting categories right now. And then, like I said, Miller just having a lights out year. And he and Páez, I think it went 10 pitches, and Páez just kept fouling out. And it was just one of those pitching matchups where you're like, God, who's going to bust it? Well, what happens is Páez just flies it out, and one of the Dodgers runs it in, and they get the win 5-4. So another close one between the Dodgers and the Padres. Then on Wednesday, the Dodgers dominated over the Padres 4-0. Otani had a great game overall, not just hitting, but pitching as well. He had a first pitch home run in this game. And then he also pitched 5 innings, 0 earned runs with 4 strikeouts and just a absolutely dominating game from him overall, but also a dominating game that the Dodgers needed to maintain their lead in the National League West. Then back to the Milwaukee Brewers and the Chicago Cubs on Wednesday. The Brewers dominated the Cubs 5-0. Kyle Harrison coming out of nowhere this year. He had 7 innings pitched with 11 strikeouts. And the Brewers getting some great offense from Hamilton. He went 3-for-4 with an RBI. And then William Contreras. He started off the season kind of cold, but now he has busted it open himself. And he had a couple hits in this game as well. Then another hot team on Wednesday, Cleveland Guardians. Probably one of the streakiest teams you're going to see. They go on those uphill battles and they just like, boom, take over. And then all of a sudden they disappear. So I kind of feel like that's going to be their theme there this season. But they have dominated the Detroit Tigers so far this season. They got the win in 10 innings, 3-2. They have won 8 out of their last 10 games after this one. Tanner Bibee, he hasn't really been getting a lot of run support in the games that he's been pitching this season, but he did get some run support in this one. He had 8 innings pitched with 5 strikeouts, and then Chase DeLauter had another fantastic game and continues his amazing rookie season. Then on Thursday, the Guardians again beat the Detroit Tigers. This is actually their first 4-game sweep of the Detroit Tigers since 2019. So big deal for them. They got the win 3-1. Brian Rocchio, 3-for-3 with an run and a stolen base. This is the Guardians' 6th win in a row and their 10th win out of 11 games. So they are just on a tear right now, and they really need to be. I mean, their division is really clustered. It's really stacked. And even though they just kicked the crap out of the Tigers, they are going to get Scooble back. And you never know what's going to happen there. But if they get Scooble back, and he's typical Scooble, they're going to be back in the saddle. But the White Sox are playing well right now. The Twins are always a sneaky team. So, I mean, you're looking at this American League Central, and it's like, whoa, what is going on with this division? Because it kind of feels like any team in that division can win it. And then rounding out Thursday night, dominating win for the Pittsburgh Pirates over the St. Louis Cardinals, 6-2. Ashcraft went 7 innings pitched with 9 strikeouts. And then Brandon Lowe, man, he has been having a great year with the Pittsburgh Pirates. 2-for-4, a home run and an RBI in this one. And both the Pirates and the Cardinals right now, two of the hottest teams in the league, playing excellent baseball. Did not think we were going to get shit from either of them, but they are playing great baseball right now. All right, so let's move on to my top 5 list this week. Since we are in the right in the thick of things with the NBA playoffs, I decided to this week we're going to do the top 5 NBA playoff players. And so this is just overall the best dominating players in playoff history. First of all, very difficult list to whittle down to 5. I almost went 10 on this one, but I didn't really want to go that in depth with it. I kind of felt 5 was the better list to go with, but it was really difficult to whittle it down. I mean, number one was very easy for me, but then to kind of look at the rest of it, it was really difficult to do. But basically for me, this is just overall playoff dominance. It means your championships, yes, do come into play. If you won any finals, MVPs, that comes into play. Your record, of course, comes into play. If you own any overall NBA playoff records, of course, that comes into play as well. But just overall dominating players. To me, these are the 5 most dominating players of all time when it comes to the playoffs. Of course, these are all guys who dominated in the regular season. But once the playoffs began, you knew all 5 of these guys were there. You knew it didn't matter if they were injured. It didn't matter who was playing, who they were around, who the rest of their team was. It didn't matter who they were playing against. It didn't matter if they were home, if they were away. It didn't matter if it was their first season in the league. It didn't matter if it was the last season. It didn't matter. Everything comes into play with these 5 guys that has to do with the playoffs. Every single playoff factor. So let's get into it. And like I said, this was difficult because there were so many dominating players to choose from. And then when I kind of whittled it down to 10, I was like, this is even difficult with these 10. And then when I whittled it down to 5, it was, especially 5 and, the whole thing other than 1. One was very easy. 1, no question. And statistically, if you argue with it, you're just stupid. But anyways, let's get into the top 5 NBA playoff players, greatest NBA playoff players of all time. Beginning with number 5, Tim Duncan, power forward of the San Antonio Spurs his entire career. His overall playoff record is 157 wins, 94 losses. That in and of itself, I on this list, by the way, I'm looking over my list right now, he has the most wins on this list out of everybody. So that just says it all. Another thing about Tim Duncan, it always bothers me when we're talking about just the overall greatest players of all time, because Tim Duncan never is mentioned. And part of it is because he was a very quiet player, but Tim Duncan turned around the San Antonio Spurs like no other. The San Antonio Spurs used to be the laughingstock of the league. They used to be like the New Orleans Saints pre-Drew Brees. Nobody ever thought the New Orleans Saints were going to sniff a Super Bowl, let alone win a Super Bowl, pre-Drew Brees. Now we all take the Saints seriously, even in today's game when they're trash. The Spurs, it's the same exact thing. Pre-Tim Duncan, yes, they had David Robinson, but the Spurs never won shit. Nobody expected the Spurs to ever win shit. They were basically the laughingstock of the league for many, many years. They draft Tim Duncan, and they made the playoffs every single season that Tim Duncan was there. Not only did they do that, I mean, the turnaround was immediate. And yes, you could say David Robinson was there, great player. No, that's not true. Yes, David Robinson was a great player, but Tim Duncan changed everything about the trajectory of this team. He made them feared. People would fear this fucking team. This was one of the best, most dominating teams, and not only in the league, but the Western Conference too, and they battled back and forth with the Lakers of that era, okay? If the Lakers weren't winning the finals, it was the Spurs winning the finals. So, and it was because of Tim Duncan. What did Tim Duncan do? He won 5 championships. He won 3 finals MVPs, and he averaged 20 points per game and 11 rebounds per game. It was just, and he always came to play defensively. Oh my God, you did not want to go in the paint when Tim Duncan was there. He always made the big plays when he had to. And Tim Duncan, to me, is one of the greatest of all time. That's why he's my second favorite player behind Kobe, because I just loved watching his game. I miss him and Kobe. The game has not been the same since he and Kobe retired, the same year, of course. But Tim Duncan changed everything about the San Antonio Spurs. And now we take the Spurs seriously because of Tim Duncan. And you can't argue it. Tim Duncan's imprint on the Spurs is there forever and for always. And I am a person who has watched his entire career. I loved David Robinson too. Man, I loved David Robinson. He was so much fun to watch. As a kid, he was one of my favorite basketball players of all time. But Tim Duncan, Tim Duncan took that shit over and they became the most feared team of that generation. Then at number four, I'm a top five NBA playoff player, greatest NBA playoff players of all time, Bill Russell. His overall playoff record, 107 wins and 58 losses. I mean, that is crazy right there. He is an 11-time champion. Two of those championships, he was a player coach, which means he was exactly what I said. He was a player, and he also coached the team as well. The thing about Bill Russell's career and why it's so astounding what he did and his domination of this era is almost none of the stats were recorded at this time. There was no finals MVPs. The blocks weren't recorded. Steals weren't recorded. Basically, everything Bill Russell did, we have so many stats of his that are not recorded. I can't even imagine what his career stats would be if, I mean, he probably would have 11 finals MVPs. And the crazy thing about Bill Russell's career, in his entire career, he made the playoffs every single year of his career and went to the NBA finals all but 2 years of his entire career. His entire career. He went to the NBA finals basically every single year of his career. How insane is that? And Bill Russell, he literally is like the first star basketball player we ever had. He dominated. He was a champion. His rebounding was insane. He averaged 16 points per game and averaged 25 rebounds per game. I repeat, 25 rebounds per game and 5 assists per game. And those are only the stats that we know. I mean, we don't know how many blocks he had. We don't, like I said, he could have 11 finals MVPs. Hello? Just say it out loud. 11 finals MVPs. That's nuts. But Bill Russell, he's also one of the most disrespected basketball players of all time. He's another one where you just don't usually hear anybody talk about him. It's like, hello, he has more championships than anybody. He's one of the winningest players of all time. 11 championships. Ain't nobody else got that. And no, you cannot go, well, he played in this era. No. That's not how it works, stupid. 11 championships is still 11 championships. So Bill Russell, it actually was hard to not put him at number one because of the 11 championships alone. But if you know basketball, you know who number one is. But let's get to number three on my top five greatest NBA playoff players of all time, Larry Bird. His playoff record, 99 wins, 65 losses. 1986 season, his playoff season, postseason, is literally considered one of the greatest postseason runs of a player of all time. Now, the thing about Larry Bird, oh my God. If you don't know about Larry Bird, do yourself a favor and watch yourself some Larry Bird highlights. This motherfucker would get right in your face and he would tell you exactly the next play that was going to be run. He would look you, say, I'm going to stand right here. I'm going to receive the ball. I'm going to look you dead in the eye. You're going to try and block me. I'm going to knock this three-pointer down. I'm going to look you in square in the face and say, ha-ha, bitch. Look who won. And that's exactly what he did. And the playoffs, I mean, Larry Bird versus Magic Johnson to this day is one of the greatest rivalries of all time. It changed basketball forever. And it made basketball what it is today. It set the course for people wanting to watch basketball. It set the course for finally getting recognition with TV and with shoe deals and with superstars. I mean, Larry Bird and Magic Johnson were probably the first two superstars the NBA ever had. So, and when Larry Bird would be in the playoffs, it was a battle. Not even just with Magic Johnson, but just every team he went against, it was, he knew everything was on the line and he was going to give it his all. He ended up with 3 championships when it was all said and done, 2 finals MVPs. He averaged 24 points per game, 10 rebounds per game, and 7 assists per game, so nearly a triple-double per game. And the only season he did not make the playoffs in his career was the 1989 season. And I'm almost positive he was injured that year. I could be wrong. I didn't look it up, but I'm pretty sure that was the year he was injured. So if that's the case, well, then basically he has made the playoffs every single season that he was there. And that just shows you what kind of an impact he had. So then at number 2 on my top 5 greatest NBA playoff players of all time, the aforementioned Magic Johnson. His playoff record, 128 wins, 62 losses. He is a 5-time NBA Finals champion with 3 Finals MVPs. He averaged 20 points per game, 11 assists per game, and 7 rebounds per game. So he almost averaged a triple-double per game. He also owns a few records, and these were, if you own records in the playoff, in the postseason, that was kind of my deciding factor for my top 2 here. Well, I mean, number one, you know exactly who number 1 is. But for Magic, he owns records when it comes to the postseason. And if you own records in the postseason, that does help a little bit when you're like really just breaking it down. And you got to kind of just stack what these resumes say about him. He actually has the most assists in playoff history, most triple doubles, and the most single series assists as well. And I mean, like I just said, Magic Johnson versus Larry Bird was one of the, it was must see TV. As a matter of fact, my boss, he lives here in Texas. He's born and raised in Texas. And he grew up in Lufkin, Texas, which is a shithole, nowheresville place here in Texas. Growing up, he used to watch the Boston Celtics. And he used to love watching the Boston Celtics. So even people who were in small towns growing up in like little areas that you don't really know about, and you can't really get a lot of news or anything, because, I mean, this is a different time, too. This is the 80s. We didn't have, like, internet and shit around that time. So for people from Texas, Nowheresville, Texas, to be fans of the Boston Celtics and this rivalry between Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, it really speaks volumes as to the impact that these two had on their teams and on the NBA at that time. And Magic Johnson, though, his rookie season, his first NBA Finals, had to step in for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who got hurt in their NBA Finals matchup. And he had to miss a couple of games. And Magic Johnson played the center position. Magic Johnson is a point guard, okay? Point guard and center couldn't be the most, they're the two direct opposites of what you're supposed to be doing in the game, basically. And Magic Johnson stepped in for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, one of the greatest players of all time. And at this point, Kareem is literally like the best player in the NBA. So for Magic Johnson to step in for one of the greatest players of all time, and not only play a position he wasn't used to playing, but he dominated and then did Kareem's hook shot. I mean, Magic's played all 5 positions. He has records. He is a 5-time champion. I mean, honestly, if Magic Johnson did not get, if he didn't test positive for HIV and he still was able to continue his career, he could have more rings. Now, you got to look at it. Well, Michael Jordan was in the league, so that may not be true. Because once Michael Jordan hit the league and started winning, ain't nobody was winning. But at the same time, it could have made things a little bit different. And Magic Johnson could potentially have had a few more rings when it's all said and done. So that's really the only reason, in my opinion, where like we could be looking at Magic Johnson's stats even being crazier had he not tested positive for HIV. Now, number 1 on my top 5 greatest NBA playoff players of all time. Who do you think it is? I mean, really, who do you think it is? There is no question, y'all. There is no question who the number one greatest NBA playoff player is of all time. His name is Michael Jordan. That's it. There is no question. You can't even argue it. And if you do argue it, you're just stupid. You don't know basketball, and you're just flat out dumb, and you're not actually looking at the facts in front of you. Michael Jordan is a six-time champion. You know, speaking of Magic Johnson, you know, I just said if he had not tested positive for HIV, he might have a few more rings. Had Michael Jordan not retired for those two seasons, Michael Jordan would have 8 rings, okay? And we all know this to be true. If you watched basketball in that era, we all know Michael Jordan would have won 2 more rings in those 2 years. So he is a 6-time champion. He's also a 6-time finals MVP. He averaged 33 points per game, which, just so y'all know, that is an NBA playoff record. He averaged 6 assists per game and 6 rebounds per game. His record, 119 wins, 60 losses. He has the most 40-point games, the most 50-point games, and the most 60-point games. He also has the most consecutive 20-point games. He did that 60 times in a row. These are reasons why Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time, especially when it comes to the playoffs. There is zero arguments when it's all said and done. 6-0. He has never lost an NBA Finals. Nobody on this list can say that. Magic Johnson has lost a couple NBA Finals. Larry Bird has lost a couple NBA Finals. Bill Russell has lost none, so there you go. But the only ones he didn't win were the 2 years he didn't make the Finals. And then Tim Duncan has lost an NBA Finals. So there's that. And then, like I just said, most 40, 50, and 60-point games. And Michael Jordan's domination is just, it's unexplainable. The way he dominated the game is, it's crazy. And just so y'all know, I hated Michael Jordan. Not as for what he did to, I mean, for who he is the GOAT. And he is basketball. He changed everything about basketball. If you are a celebrity and you have any type of endorsement deal, you have Michael Jordan to thank for that. He changed the game. He made everybody want to watch basketball when he was playing basketball. Know that. But I hated Michael Jordan because I'm a Lakers fan. He won his first championship against my motherfucking Lakers, okay? You think I like that motherfucker? Hell to the motherfucking no. I am not a Bulls fan, but I know greatness when I see it. And Michael Jordan, overall, especially when you're talking about the NBA playoffs, nobody dominated like Michael Jordan, period. End of story. That's it. You can jimmy-rig all the stats you want. Nope. And, I mean, honestly, like I said, with Bill Russell, I wanted to put him up there just because of the 11 championships. But then you look at it and you go, how many 40-point games does he have? 50-point games, 60-point games. Jordan would just take over a game. And I watched it. Everybody in the 90s watched it. It was something else to watch Michael Jordan, especially in the playoffs. He was going, if you gave him the ball, he was making the game-winning shot every fucking time. And if he didn't make the game-winning shot, he was passing it to whoever was making that game-winning shot, like when he did with Kerr. So, yeah, Michael Jordan, easily. Number one, it wasn't even a question to me. I knew even when I thought of the list, I'm like, okay, so Jordan's one. But then when I actually really started to do the research and look at the stats, I'm like, oh God, this is not even close at all. Michael Jordan, number one, top 5 greatest NBA playoff player of all time. But I mean, real talk, all 5 of them are great. There's actually, like I said, I could have done 10. And I mean, there's so many great players throughout the history of time. And like I'm talking about with the matchups we got going on right now with the Western Conference Finals and the Eastern Conference Finals. We have dudes in these matchups right now. Like I said, we are watching some careers who could potentially rival some of these guys. Now, they got a ways to go because they're all basically beginners compared to them. But I mean, we could be seeing some greatness right ahead of us. And so that's why I'm enjoying these playoffs, because you never know what you're going to see. You never know what you're watching. And it's been great. I mean, like I said, to watch the first 2 games of the Western Conference Finals and the Eastern Conference Finals going to overtime, And you've got double overtime between the Spurs and the Thunder. And then you've got the Knicks coming all the way back in the fourth quarter from 22 points down to roll it into overtime and then get the win. Man, it was fun to watch that. And it's been great to watch this great basketball. And it's been great to watch new players and to kind of see the changing of the guard in the league. I feel like it started the changing of the guard in the league last year, especially with the Thunder winning the finals. But I feel like now we really are starting to see it. Like I said, four of these teams, we got some heavy-hitting players who could potentially be Hall of Fame players. I mean, you've got SGA, who just won his second MVP, and he's already got a ring. Could be winning two in a row. Who knows what we're going to see from this Thunder team for years to come. And same with the Spurs. God, I mean, Victor Wembanyama is a game changer. He's one of those transcending players who just elevate your team to a whole other level. But it's not just him. They got so many young dudes on this team. You're like, whoa, like Stephon Castle. I forgot to even talk about that dunk he had in game two. Like that was a dirty dunk. I mean, he jumped up and just banged it down with authority. It was beautiful to watch. So I'm enjoying these NBA playoffs. Like, it's just amazing to watch. So I'm enjoying it, even though my Lakers they got their asses beat. That's all there is to it. I'm just enjoying it. So y'all enjoy the rest of the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.